So I would like to call the meeting to order. And first item of business, as has been the custom for over a year now, per the governor's orders, for meetings held via teleconference, this will be recorded and the transcription will be posted on the chief of website in the very near future. And if I could, whether you be a staff member, board member, or a vendor consultant, if you have a comment or a question, please identify yourself at the outset so we know who is making the comment. And with that, I will start with a roll call for the minutes. I'm Peter Lisi, obviously I'm present. Chief of Board Members, we'll start with Michael Angelini.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Elbaum.
Join the meeting.
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill. Daryl? Kim Kennison?
Here.
Thank you. Susan Martin?
I'm here.
Thank you. Alan Matamana?
I'm here.
Mark Vahalik?
I'm here.
I'm not expecting Lawrence Davis or Estella Lopez, but either of you on the line? Lawrence or Estella? No. And Daryl Hill, one more chance?
I'm here.
Thank you, Daryl. Okay. Chief of Staff, Jeanette Weldon?
Here.
Denise Aguilera?
Here. Eileen McDonald?
Deb Galley?
Join the meeting.
I'm here.
Thank you. Dan Junge?
Present.
Josh Herlock?
Here.
Bob Jandro?
Present.
Krista Johnson?
Here.
Thank you. Dan Kurowski?
Here.
Eileen McDonald?
Present.
Joanne Makowitz?
Present.
Michael Morris?
Present.
Cynthia Peoples?
I'm present.
Kara Stewart?
I'm here.
Betty Sugarman Weintraub?
Present.
Are there any other chief staff on the call whose name I didn't call out?
Mike, do you want to?
Yes, am I off mute? We have the newest member of the chief of team, Marlene Pagan, who will be replacing Eileen McDonald when she retires next month. So,
okay.
Marlene is on the phone.
Welcome, Marlene. Look forward to meeting you in person. Okay, with regard to consultants and vendors, as has been the custom, I'll call out the company name. If you are here representing your company, please identify yourself. Acacia Financial.
Josh Nicotta.
All right. Anyone with you, Josh?
No, just me this afternoon.
All right, thank you. Carmody Torrance.
Ann Sucker is here.
Thank you, Ann. Cohn Resnick. Dave Pitney. Hardwick Law Firm.
Debbie Henry is on.
Thank you. Hawkins, Delafield and Wood.
Good afternoon. Christy Flynn is on.
Thank you. Hinckley Allen.
Tom Marion here. Good afternoon.
Thank you. McCarter and English.
Yes, it's Jane Warren. Hi.
Thank you. PFM.
Trina Smith.
Thank you, Trina. Pullman Conley.
Good afternoon, Eric Russell.
Thank you. Robinson and Cole.
Hi, Ed Timmer. I took it on.
Thank you, Ed. Shipman and Goodwin.
Bruce Chadwick is on.
Thank you. And any other invited guests, anyone who is on the call whose name I did not mention?
This is Andrea Sabatsana from Greenwich Academy. Okay. I was asked to be on the call as well.
Thank you. And I think at one point we were expecting someone from Trinity. Is there anyone from Trinity College on the line?
From Trinity, we have Guy Drapo and Dan Hitchell.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mike, you have Brian Beckman on from Barclays as well.
Oh, that's right.
With Trinity Transaction.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, with the roll call completed, we'll move first item of business, approving the minutes from May 19th. I hope folks have taken a look at them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So moved. It's Kim Kennison.
Thank you, Kim. Is there a second?
Gangelini, second.
Thank you, Mike. So the minutes from May 19th have been moved for acceptance and seconded. Are there any corrections or edits anyone would like to make? Corrections, edits, comments? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as proposed, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions?
This is Mark Verhulak. I abstain as I was absent.
Thank you, Mark. We have one abstention. Okay, next item, couple of reports, the executive director report, starting with Jeanette. Jeanette, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Just a few updates. First, I wanted to let everyone know the crumbling foundations, potential bond issuance that Chief could have been involved with, that is now being done through the state as general obligation bonds through the treasurer's office. So we will not be called upon to participate in that transaction. Also wanted to let the board know that Wilson Luna, who was approved to serve on the CHESLA board or to be appointed to the CHESLA board last month, is actually unable to serve due to his political affiliation, but we expect that he will serve on CHESLA's advisory committee.
Jeanette, yes. Perhaps you could just explain a little bit what you mean by his political affiliation. It's not that we exclude someone because of their...
Correct. It's that there are limits on the number of each party, no more than two appointees from the same party can be on the CHESLA board. And so unfortunately, his political affiliation put us over the limit on one of those parties, but he is happy to serve on the advisory committee. And the expectation is that at the CHESLA board meeting later this month, he will be appointed to the CHESLA advisory committee.
Thank
you. So we will still benefit from his experience and input. Just as sort of an FYI, with regard to returning to the office, the senior management team we're finalizing our approach for returning to the office, and it will be a topic at our June 30th staff meeting. The expectation is that we would be returning right after Labor Day. And on the legislative front, we did have a significant success with one of our initiatives, and I'd like to turn it over to Dan Genge to provide the update on that.
Thanks, Jeanette. As Jeanette mentioned, we did have success with respect to our Alliance District teacher loan subsidy proposal. We were able to work with House Co-Chair Jason Doucette of the Banking Committee to have an amendment filed on House Bill 5610. This amendment contained language not only establishing the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program, but it also included language that expands the definition of education assistance in CHESLA's enabling statutes. On the third to last day of session, the Senate was in until 4 a.m, and at 3:57 a.m., they called our bill and put it on consent, which means all 36 senators voted in the affirmative for passage of the bill, and it's currently awaiting the governor's signature. Another noteworthy item from this session is we were able to successfully lobby the general bonding subcommittee co-chairs for having the necessary funding authorization included in the annual bond bill. The next step in the process will be to get the bonding on a bond commission agenda and have all the members vote to actually issue the bonds to fund the program. And one last item, today the House is in session. Yesterday the Senate did pass the budget implementer bill, and the House is taking that up today. So we will continue to monitor that legislation and keep you apprised of any developments. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, I have nothing further for my report, Peter.
Okay, any questions for Jeanette or Dan?
Sure, Jeanette and Dan, I was, this is Steve Albaum speaking. I was wondering about the legislation we had talked about before at the end of the Senate hearing that discussed I can't remember how it was put, maybe assessments on CHIFA and creation of an agency below CRDA to deal with some issues that at least it was perceived that CHIFA shared with some other quasi-public agencies that was in up for discussion.
So that was something that we monitored very closely throughout the last few weeks of session. We were anticipating that that language would likely come back in the form of an amendment, whether it be a strike all or simply adding language to an existing bill. But we were fortunate in the fact that it was never filed. So that was an item that was not taken up by the Senate or the House during the session.
Thanks.
One other question, Peter, for Dan.
Yep.
What about the three bills that you were concerned about that would impose some additional requirements for CHIFA?
So
that could be detrimental.
Thank you for the question. Those bills, they were House bills, and the House actually did not take any action on those bills. So they never made it out of the House or to the Senate.
Great news. Thank you.
Okay, anything else for Dan or Jeanette? Okay, Michael, client updates?
Sure. We have three new financings that are on the financing forecast. Two we'll talk about today, Wesleyan and Greenwich Academy. We also have a new issue for Suffield Academy. They're going to refund its existing debt plus add a little bit of new money. We have three closings this week and next for University of St. Joseph, the child care issue, and we're going to hear the sales report from Acacia, from Joshua McCasa, and ACES. We're still looking forward to pricing the Yale University remarketing of its 2015 issue of $300 million next week. And that's about it.
Anybody? Questions for Michael? All right, I think it's over to Joanne for a financial report.
All right, thank you very much. I noted as I was writing my notes that there is an error on the balance sheet. It's in the investments, and I'll resend it. I did fix it, and Deb and I will resend it after the meeting. The institution investments were in at $315,000, and they're really $316 million, $933,036. I will resend a page and it's highlighted in yellow so you can see how it flowed through the rest of the balance sheet. But on your page 32 of your packet, for the 10 months ended April 30th, 2021, the operating revenues exceed our operating expenses by $3.4 million. After non-operating expenses of $3.1 million, the change in net position is $305,000. Revenues continue to trend under budget by about $49,000, and expenses are also under budget by $249,000. Okay. Are there any questions?
What are you projecting as a projection of surplus for the year end?
Of course, I didn't do that math today, but typically it's about $350,000 added to it, so May and June would be another 700,000, so about a million.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Joanne? All right. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
Cynthia, interest rates?
Just very quickly, changes in the yield curve, essentially the yield curve since we last reported
At the 1 year, it's gone up about 2 basis points, but across the rest of the yield curve from the 5 year to the 30 year, it's reduced starting at 4 basis points to about 18 basis points. And as far as money markets are concerned, they're pretty much all at zero, 0%. I was looking for an update related to the Fed, which was supposed to come out. There was supposed to be a meeting at one where they would be talking about any changes in monetary policy, but I have not seen any updates on that to provide you at this time. So that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. Any questions? All right. Josh, do you have an update on Chesla?
Sure. Thank you, Peter. I think Deb's going to bring up my presentation. But I will start.
I will bring it up. Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but item E, I wasn't sure if you meant to skip that or not.
Sorry, was that a question to me?
The market updates.
Market updates.
We didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Bob, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. honestly, I really don't have much new to report on the transactions report. I will say that with regards to the municipal market in general, all the same themes that we've been discussing this year thus far remain in place, and staff continues to believe that the market poses a unique opportunity for borrowers to lock in low rates and take advantage of the strong buy-side interest in the marketplace.
Okay. Any questions for Bob? And I do apologize, Bob. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
All right. Now I think we're over to Josh. Thank you.
Back to me. Okay. So Deb, we can go to the next slide. We have a summary here of our in-school loan disbursements compared to fiscal year 2020 through the third quarter. Our in-school loan program disbursements are down about 26%. We had downsized our 2020 bond deal by about 28%. So these disbursements are really in line with what we anticipated. Moving to the next slide, we have our refi program disbursements. Compared to fiscal year 2020, there has been about a 50% reduction. The program has been hit hard due to COVID and also the federal government extending their relief through September of 2021. We continue to market the refinancing of private loans to try to jumpstart the loan disbursements for the refi program. Moving to the next slide, I just have a quick update regarding our scholarship program. The application for those pursuing an undergraduate degree closed on May 1st. At our Chesla board meeting next week, we will be looking for board approval for the awards for the upcoming fiscal year. For the certificate program, the volume still continues to be low. So far this year in fiscal 21, we've disbursed 10 certificate scholarships totaling $12,500. At the March Chesla board meeting, we did remove the expected family contribution component from the certificate scholarships. We felt that this was a barrier to applicants applying for the scholarship, as there are many certificate programs that are non-credit and they do not qualify for federal student aid. So they would typically not be filling out a FAFSA and thus not have an EFC. So that was approved at the March Chesla board meeting, and that change became effective on May 7th. And then my last update on slide 5 here, a couple of marketing highlights. We had a spot run during round 3 of the Masters Golf Tournament on April 10th. We will also be adding Twitter to our social media suite in the new fiscal year. Right now, we currently have Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, so this will be a nice addition. And then just a bond deal update. Our bond deal will close on June 23rd. The pricing went well. The plan is that our new offering will be a 4.59% fixed rate with no origination fee. Currently, we have a 4.85% fixed rate with a 3% origination fee. And that 4.85 was our historic low. So the new offering will be 26 basis points lower than our prior low. And we're removing the 3% origination fee, which after canvassing the industry of state lenders and other private lenders, Chesil was certainly on an island of sorts with continuing to have that origination fee. So we're excited about our new offering and what the next fiscal year holds. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Josh? Well, it's certainly a very attractive rate, Josh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Questions? Okay. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Okay. I think the next order of business is a sales report on child care revenue bonds. Acacia, or Josh from Acacia, would you like to take over?
Good afternoon, Chairman. I think Deb is putting up a presentation as we speak. Thank you. So good to be with you all again. Last Thursday on June 10th, the authority sold $13.7 million in state-supported child care revenue bonds. Proceeds from the sale were used to currently refund all the authority's outstanding Series 2011 bonds for debt service savings. Deb, could you turn to slide 4, please, for a brief summary of the deal and some key stats? Thank you. The state-supported child care revenue bonds, as the board is aware, are supported primarily by a pledge of the state treasurer to make debt service payments subject to appropriation of the Connecticut legislature. So accordingly, the rating on these bonds is notched one notch off the state's GO credit rating in accordance with the methodology of Moody's and S&P. Thanks to the state's recent upgrades by all four rating agencies over the last couple of months, this resulted in a credit rating of A1 by Moody's and A by S&P on this transaction. So between the attractive market conditions and a solid credit structure, it really allowed the authority to achieve an incredible result for this credit and for the sale. We produced, the refunding produced $2.2 million in net PV savings or 13.9%. It's always nice when you can get into those double digit savings levels. I know we've seen that on a number of transactions that the authority's done recently. The true interest cost was a little under 1% for a transaction that went out for 10 years with maturities. So again, very attractive results overall. Deb, if you turn to the next page, we'll give a brief overview of just the pricing and how it went. As noted, we sold on June 10th, and the day before pricing, as we typically do, we had a market update call and a pre-marketing call with the underwriter to discuss the market conditions in general, as well as the proposed scale that they were going to present to investors. Cynthia and Bob mentioned, as we've talked about over the last few months, market conditions continue to be really attractive for for issuers of municipal bonds, with rates at all time lows and demand really overwhelming supply in the marketplace right now. What's really driving that demand lately has been a significant amount of bond calls and maturities, which is very typical of June and the overall summer months. And one key stat I thought I mentioned, it's not on the slide, but it's projected that the mismatch between new issuance and redemptions is roughly $50 billion between now and through the end of August. So that's a significant amount of money available for investment, which is really going to drive up demand for municipal bonds. So I think, again, echoing with Cynthia and Bob said, a great time to be in the marketplace. If you could turn to the next slide, Deb, just give a quick recap of how the pricing went. Again, it went very well. The pre-marketing scale presented by the underwriter was relatively aggressive, despite how low rates were and how tight spreads are. Proposed spreads ranged from 20 to 60 basis points in years 22 through 31. Based on the comps that we saw in the marketplace and the overall positive tone, we asked to push the spreads a little bit more on the longer end in years 27 to 31 by 2 basis points. And the underwriter did agree to that more aggressive level. The transaction was very well received at those levels with overall subscription at 3.2 times for the total transaction, and several maturities, 22, 25, and 26 in particular, were over 4 times subscribed. We were able to adjust the spreads in accordance with the level of subscription. So we got adjustments of 3 to 4 basis points across the curve, which is always good and what you want to see when you have that level of oversubscription. All in, 7 different accounts put in orders for the transaction, including U.S. Trust, Goldman Sachs Asset Management, Boston Company, Eaton Vance, and Mackay Shields, who put in the largest orders for $5 million in total. So a lot of the same names that we're familiar with in investing in the authorities transactions. And again, a great result with over $2.2 million in net PV savings. Happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Thank you, Josh. Looks like a very attractive transaction. Well done. Questions for Josh? Any questions, comments? All right, thank you, Josh.
Great, thank you.
Okay, we have a preliminary memo on an easy loan. Eileen, are you gonna walk us through that?
Hi, Peter. Hi. And everything.
Hey, Peter, it's Steve. Sorry, Peter, it's Steve Elbaum. Yes. Just before we get into that, I emailed before, I'm going to have to recuse myself on the CCMC, Greenwich Academy, and Trinity matters because my firm is involved in those.
Yes.
And so I'll just, I think, Deb, are you putting me in the waiting room for those?
Yes, I will.
Okay. But I'll be back.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Deb.
Hi, it's Eileen. I apologize. I'm technologically challenged today, so you won't be able to see me. Connecticut Children's Medical Center has come to us again for $10 million. They're financing information technology, infrastructure equipment, and an enterprise resource planning system, which is business software suite. Some miscellaneous other facilities infrastructure, clinical equipment, and cost of issuance for the loan issue. BCMC has had 3 equipment loans with us for a total of $48 million since 2007, all with the Bank of America Public Capital Corporation, who will be the lender on this also. The current financing is proposed to be for a 7-year term with an interest rate of 1.68%. As in the previous loans, the bank is requiring that the foundation be a guarantor on this loan. To go review Connecticut Children's a little bit, it's licensed for 187 beds and currently staffed 182. We're not going to really review any of the financial information because the responsibility falls to the purchasing bank in this program. Regarding the CHIFA Easy Loan Program, for issues under $5 million, we're not required to get board approval for a transaction. Any issue from $5 to $10 million, which this is presented for review to the board. Anything over $10 million must be formally approved by the board. In your financing reports that you get, you have the financing forecast, which shows the new issues. It has the bond issues that have closed and also the easy
join the meeting
there. So the board has provided those reports monthly of the number of loans and the amounts outstanding. We used to provide the board with the amount of loans outstanding for an aggregate on the program, but there was a resolution in 2012 that amended that. And that's it. Any questions?
So, Eileen, just so everyone is clear, this doesn't cross the threshold of requiring board approval. This is just an informational item, not an action item, correct?
Correct. And that has been reviewed again by bond counsel.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you, Eileen.
Welcome.
All right, Bob, I'm not going to skip you this time. Greenwich Academy.
Okay. First, I'd like to welcome Greenwich Academy's Chief Financial Officer, Andrea Sabatzana. I think for today's meeting, I think the best approach, just for the essence of time, is for me to make a few brief comments about the Academy, and then we can turn things over to Q&A and just take advantage of having Ms. Sabatzana here to answer questions as well as address any concerns the board may have. Firstly, Greenwich Academy has a long and successful history. They've been around since 1827. They serve as a day school catering to girls in pre-K through 12, and they enrolled 821 students in the current fiscal year. The school has operated essentially at peak capacity for the past several years, as enrollment has been capped by the town of Greenwich. However, the Academy intends to work with the town to obtain approval to grow enrollment in line with the Academy's long-term strategic plan, which could add an additional 10 to 15% more students. The Academy intends to finance up to $30 million to reimburse itself for various capital projects, which we have listed in the memo. At this time, a decision has not yet been made as to whether or not the Academy will seek financing through the public market or through a bank direct placement. At the end of the day, it will come down to which type of financing will best suit the Academy in its needs. A decision will be made prior to next month's board meeting, where staff will be seeking board approval. Although the structuring of the financing is still being contemplated, it's likely that Greenwich Academy will pursue a fixed rate transaction, that the bonds that will be issued on a parity basis with its outstanding debt. And if the economics are attractive enough, the school will borrow out to a maximum of 30 years. Additionally, it's worth noting that the school expects to defease its outstanding Series E bonds of approximately $21 million in par value this summer from a mix of institutional reserves and a line of credit. In January of this year, Greenwich Academy was upgraded to A1 by Moody's, and they cited very good growth in financial reserves over the past decade, steady enrollment, robust student demand, growing applications, and net tuition. Staff's own credit analysis coincides with all the positives that Moody's cited, and believes that their comments best capture the essence of what we'd like to communicate to the board today. With that, I think it's a great time to turn it over to Andrea if she'd like to make any further comments, or we can just move to Q&A.
Thank you very much, Bob. No, I think you really captured everything. As you said, I think we're leaning towards a 30-year term, depending on how the rates come, and looking for what may give us the best rates, and looking at the covenants as well, or any restrictions the bank may put into place. But
okay. Any questions from board members? Any questions? Bob, you expect to be coming back next month with the final?
Yes, we'll be coming back next month with the final. And we'll have all the details of the structure of the new deal. And yeah, we'll have everything wrapped up.
Okay. All right, any questions on the preliminary for Greenwich? I guess not. Getting off easy, Bob.
Thank you, Andrea, for attending today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bob, I think it's over to you, or still with you, for Trinity.
Yes. So So I am also very happy to announce that I'm joined by Mr. Guy Drapo, who is AVP for finance at Trinity. In order to preserve, his time, I'd like to just make a few comments and then we can again turn it over to Q&A. Since much of what I believe needed to be communicated to the board regarding Trinity College occurred last month. Trinity College is seeking approval today of up to $65 million for the Trinity College issue Series S, which will be used to finance various capital projects, as well as finance a partial refunding of the outstanding Series Q bonds. At last month's meeting, we presented the board with staff's credit analysis and also communicated what we believe to be the major strengths and challenges the college faces. Last month, the board had asked about Trinity College's preliminary enrollment numbers for this coming fall, as well as the college's plan for its upcoming capital campaign, which we've included in this month's memo. So basically at this point, I think it's a good time to turn it over to Mr. Drapo and allow him also the opportunity to make any comments that he'd like. Otherwise, we can just go straight to Q&A.
Hi there, I'm actually here with Dan Hitchell, my boss, the Senior VP for Finance and Operations. So you got both of us today.
Perfect, okay. Thank you so much for attending. Peter, did you want to turn it over to?
Well, I didn't know if the folks from Trinity wanted to make any opening statement or respond to. Assuming they've seen the final memo, there's credit strengths, credit weaknesses. I didn't know if they wanted to start with just a quick little summary of what's been presented to us, or we can open it up to board members for questions. But I would make the offer to them if they'd like to open up with any sort of statement.
I think we could open it up to questions. I think the detail that we provided is relatively self-explanatory, but we'd be happy to give anybody answer any questions that maybe we didn't think of in our document.
Okay. Well, then to the board, I would turn and open up to any questions if there are any, in addition to the information we have in the final memorandum. So any questions from a board member?
I have a question, Peter.
Sure, Kim.
Do we get another opportunity because this is not the final? Or this is the final?
This is the final.
This is the final. Okay. Knowing that last month a lot of the financial information was really incomplete. So we didn't have any representation. So we didn't get an opportunity to go through it. It really was a lot of open items here. And so again, I think it would be helpful for myself, I don't know about the other board members, is if from a financial perspective, if they could just give us a little bit more of their vision and their thought versus just the memo from the staff.
Sure, I think Dan actually has the elevator speech for the end of the year. He just did it, I think, 1 or 2 days ago with our actual board. Dan, but I know we have a positive bottom line coming up at the end of this year.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having us, and we look forward to the questions and the conversation. We just got off I guess the place to start is with Moody's. We just got off our rating call with them this morning, and they returned their call. They're continuing with our A2 stable rating. They listed our financial strengths as substantial cash flow and investment, strong donor support, and very good strategic position as a liberal arts college with high regard and academic reputation, and a highly effective leadership team demonstrating good financial oversight, long-term planning. I think those are all accurate representations of us as an institution. We're coming out of the pandemic with a forecast of $1.4 million positive bottom line on a balanced budget. We've exceeded our expectations in many ways there. We had more students came back during the pandemic. We were able to manage what outbreaks we did have, and we had 40% of our classes in person, probably about 10% hybrid, and the rest were online during that time. We're prepared and ready to go back almost into full operations for next year. And we have we're taking another balanced budget again to our board on a week from tomorrow. You know, are there challenges that Moody's lists is much like what you have here, that we're facing demographic challenges as the rest of the Northeast is. Our liquidity, because of our small unrestricted endowment, is always questioned in the high age of our plan. But we've got our Summit strategic plan. We're working that, and we're seeing changes almost daily as we bring this plan forward. I'll give you one example of that is our program with Infosys, which is going to net us about $700,000 next year, where we help train their new engineers and give them a liberal arts take so that they can better interact and with their employees, with their customers. So we're out there working our strategic plan and achieving our goals. And I think Moody's and your team have found what we do well and have identified the challenges facing us. But overall, I think we're in a strong position in the market. Other questions I can answer?
Sure. This is Peter Lisi from the Chief of Board. Your endowment, it's overwhelmingly, I think that's almost an understatement. It was overwhelmingly restricted. There's very little in the unrestricted category. Now, I know that you're going out for a $500 million capital campaign. So I'm assuming the emphasis or the desire on that capital campaign is to find unrestricted dollars. Would that be a fair assumption?
Oh, wait. Yeah. So definitely be helpful, right, to build that up. Unrestricted financial, unrestricted dollars are always great. Financial aid dollars act almost as well for us. Mm-hmm. Because endowment gifts for financial aid roll right over into the operating budget as budget relief for us also.
Right.
But yes, that would be helpful. We do have our advancement team is aware of what this small unrestricted endowment makes us look like to rating agencies and to others. And they're always working with donors to either take all or part of their gift and give it unrestricted.
Has the capital campaign been launched yet?
I wouldn't say we're past the quiet phase. We're in the phase where we're working closely with friends and colleagues of the college. There's a few more things we need to get going on that, but we're probably around $240 million of our $500 million goal.
Okay, so without getting too specific, but just would you have a rough estimate of what percentage of that 250 would fall in the unrestricted category?
Actually, probably very little, I'd have to say at this point.
Okay.
As we've been focusing on financial aid and some athletic construction projects at this point.
Okay.
Some of our bigger bang for the buck, splashier projects to show some progress for the college.
Sure.
Peter, two things to add. One, I gave Dan the good news yesterday. Our endowment did exceed $700 million year to date in earnings. So we're very excited about that milestone over here. Second, our endowment has almost $300 million of what we call formerly called temporarily restricted, which is our accumulated earnings on the original gifts.
Right.
Those are
restricted, I guess you would call them, for GAAP purposes. However, those are the dollars that our board draws from each year to help maintain our operating budget. So while they are restricted, they are only temporarily restricted.
Understood. Yeah.
So while it looks like we have this really, really large restricted number, a good portion of it is used for operating purposes on an annual basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, about 75% of the total endowment draw comes back over into the operating budget as budget relief.
Okay. Other questions from folks for Trinity? Other questions,
Bob? Peter?
Yep, go ahead, Kim.
So, Peter, great question on your capital campaign questions. And so if the capital campaign has already been launched, in that launching or silent phase, the initiatives or the priorities of your president would have already designated what you're going after for funding. And so you just alluded that financial aid scholarships were one of the initiatives. And I heard athletics, those are really good buzzes that people would want to give funding for. So I'm assuming that within that campaign, you can tell me the portions that are designated for an unrestricted purpose.
Well, it's going to go gift by gift. I'm
talking about your goal of what you're going after in the funding, and you have your initiatives that you're going after. So normally you would state, you know, of this initiative of athletics, I am looking to get so many millions of dollars. I'm looking to get so many million in financial aid. And you think about those initiatives.
Dan, I believe it's around 70-ish million. That's our annual fund raising. Yep. So that would be the absolute unrestricted portion, and we were alluding to the scholarship side, because while that gift would be restricted, it will be a portion of that will be used every year as part of our annual and as part of our operating budget. So that's why we're dancing between the two.
So how much is slotted for scholarships?
In your goal
to achieve
100 million for endowment.
Okay.
And then 70 million for annual fund, but that could be current use scholarships too. That's
right. Okay.
Yep.
And athletics?
Athletics, about 35 million all in. There's about 3.5 million for a construction project now, 30 million for 25 to 30 million for an extension of athletic facilities, and then 5 or so million for an endowment to help fund the operating expenses around those facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else with questions? Anyone?
Do we happen to know, you said that you're coming off of a good year in surplus. Were you referring to your FY21 projections?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Other questions? All right. Bob, this is a final memo. You're looking for approval today?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, we have had a preliminary. We've had a final presentation. Would someone like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation for the Trinity College financing? Is there a motion?
This is Angelini. Move.
We've got a motion. We've got a second. Further comments or questions? Any discussion?
This is Daryl. Just a quick legal question. I just checked. Treasurer Wooden is an alumni and I believe a former board member. He's no longer on the board at Trinity.
That's correct.
I don't believe there's any conflict or potential conflict with him voting on this item.
No, there isn't, Daryl. This is Denise.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion on the Trinity College financing as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, Michael Wesleyan.
Okay, today we're seeking approval of up to $125 million for the Wesleyan 2021 transaction. It will consist of two series, a taxable issue and a tax-exempt issue. Proceeds will be used to finance two major projects that are part of the university's long-term strategic capital improvement plan, one being renovating and constructing an addition to their Public Affairs Center, which is one of the most heavily utilized academic buildings, and others for the construction of a new science center, which will be 193,000 square foot building. And both of these projects are targeted to be LEED gold certified. Wesleyan's enrollment for 2021 was slightly under 3,000. The university has a total of $358 million of debt outstanding, with only one CHIVA issue of $20 million that was issued in 2010. As far as the financing structure, the Series I will be tax exempt and with a bullet maturity in 2031, whereas the taxable piece will have a bullet maturity in 2051. The university is currently rated AA3 by Moody's and AA from Standard & Poor's. Both have a stable outlook. These ratings were last affirmed in December 2019 when they did, right before they did their 2020 taxable offering. And in conjunction with this rating, the underwriter or financial advisor will be seeking rating assessments of $75 million, $100 million, and $125 million to see where they would fall out if there would be any change to the ratings. Security will be just a general obligation of the university. Given the university's strong credit rating, there won't be a mortgage or a debt service reserve fund. Demand trends have been very favorable due to the university's strong academic reputation and geographic draw. They did have a decline of 4.5% in applications from 20 to 21, like 70% of our portfolio had decreases. But for the fall of 2021, there was a 3% increase in amount of applications received remains the second highest level. Given the increase in the application selectivity rate improved to a very respectable 19.4%, but it's still higher than the pre-pandemic levels. The matriculation rate for fall, this fall 2021 is not available yet. Prior to the pandemic, the matriculation rate averaged a very impressive 37% and was just under 30% for 2021. But they feel confident that their yield will improve to near prepayment levels in this year and in the future. Their enrollment, they target total undergraduate FTEs at approximately 3,000. They had a steady growth in graduate enrollment before declining in 2021. Moody's cites the size of enrollment for the institution and its graduate program as a competitive advantage. They draw students from 41 states and 34 foreign countries, with only 8% from Connecticut and approximately 41% the fiscal year 2021 class was identified as students of color. The university has a strong history of producing operating surpluses. The university's operating margin has averaged 7.5% for the past 4 years. For fiscal year 2020, it was very impressive at 8.1%, which is significantly higher than its AA-rated peers. One of the challenges at Moody's Sites is that Wesleyan depends on a greater reliance on student charges. It was 63% for fiscal year 2020, compared to Moody's AA median of 52.7. However, I would think many of our institutions in our portfolio would love a 62.9% reliance on student charges. Their discount rate has remained relatively stable, around 38%. Their operating cash flow margin at 18.5% for 2020 remains strong, providing adequate debt pro forma debt service at 2.55 times. And their 2020 operating margin, 8.1%, was significantly higher than the AA peers. The liquidity position is very solid. Total cash investments as of fiscal year end 2020 was $1.3 billion. Their spendable cash and investments provide a strong cushion to operating expenses at 4 times. And their monthly liquidity is strong at 512 days, exceeding Moody's AA median of 435 days. Their endowment as of March 31st, 2021 equaled approximately $1.56 billion. However, like Trinity, their less than 25% is unrestricted. With the new offering, total debt will increase to over $441 million under the current sizing scenario. But their capital structure mainly consists of large bullet maturities, totaling $345 million. Which Moody's also stated that they had concerns about the university debt capacity, limited flexibility to issue further debt without negatively impacting their credit rating. Therefore, that's why they're going for the rating assessments at those different levels. And like I said before, they'll have 2 more bullet maturities for this transaction, a tax exempt for being 10 years. And the taxable in 30 years. And when you're looking at the metrics for their debt, while adequate, they're significantly below Moody's AA median. You look at the cash investments to total pro forma debt, the pro forma debt service coverage ratio, their debt to capitalization. Like I said, all adequate, but much lower than Moody's AA median. In addition, their annual debt service burden will be high at 8%. Fundraising is very impressive at the university. They averaged $40 million in gifts and pledges over the past 5 years. They also recently launched a capital campaign, but goal for the campaign has not been publicly announced, nor did they state what the capital campaign will be, proceeds will be used for. But they've collected over $150 million towards the capital campaign total.
What's the goal of the campaign, Michael?
482. No.
No, the goal hasn't been set.
Oh.
Okay.
They've averaged $40 million in gifts and pledges on an annual basis, and they've collected $150 million towards the new capital campaign, but it's in the very early stages.
Okay.
So despite, less than ideal capital structure from the rating agency standpoint. Obviously you have a very solid institution here with a strong history and should have really no issues at all with meeting its debt service requirements. So with that, we're looking for a motion for approval.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get a motion out there and then we can have discussion. Is there a motion to accept staff's recommendation on
Wesleyan University.
So moved.
All right, thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
It's Mike Angelini, second.
Oh, all right, thank you. We've got a motion, we've got a second to accept staff's recommendation on Wesleyan University. Are there questions for Michael Morris regarding the offering? This is a final presentation. I think as everyone, hopefully everyone saw in the email that came from Michael Morris recently. Obviously, typically we come with a preliminary memo and then a final. Because of certain circumstances, staff is coming to the board with a request for approval, just having seen the final memo, which is today. So again, I'll open it up to any questions if there are any from board members.
Michael, it's Steve Elbaum. Just a quick question, just to characterize your report. Is it safe to say that while the debt service coverage issue is debt service coverage is really not an issue, and that Wesleyan will really have no issue of repayment, the credit isn't as strong here as has historically been seen, and Moody's is drawing attention to that. Is that an accurate characterization?
It is not as strong. There may be a chance for a downgrade with the additional debt, but it still would be A plus credit. It just wouldn't be in that double A category. I think it is the goal of the university to remain in the double A category. So if they have to downsize the transaction, they would.
Thank you. And just quickly, so how would they downsize the transaction? So they're going to essentially go into the market and see what's going to happen to their credit rating, and then.
Well, that's right. That's what I said before. They're going to go to the rating agencies. What would it be like with a $75 million offering, $100 million offering, or $125 million? At what point would the rating drop?
And sorry, this is my last question. And is that unusual for a highly rated for a university with a long credit history to sort of test the rating agencies like that and find out what that tolerance level is?
This is the first I've seen of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if other issuers have done that as well, but.
And I have a question, Michael.
Mike, just following up on that, Mike. So then the use of proceeds is going to be somewhat undetermined until they go to market until it's determined what the rating is going to be. Then they'll determine how much they try to raise in the market, which again ultimately affects use of proceeds and how much money they'll have to spend, correct?
Yes.
As well as Peter. To piggyback off of Stephen's comment, is this something that the board approves for a dollar value of $125 million and we don't know if they're going to be downgraded or not, and they're looking for this flexibility from the board rather than a concrete, yes, I've gone to the rating agency and now I'm looking for X amount of dollars?
Jim, is that a question to me or to Michael?
To Michael.
Okay.
Your permission to speak.
Well, anytime, typically we would know before we go into the market or even come to the board what the rating is going to be, or what if it's going to change. I mean, but still, like I said, even if it's downgraded to an A1, it's still a very strong rating. Mm-hmm. And I doubt if S&P would go down two notches, because mm-hmm. they currently rate a double A. I couldn't see that happening, going down two notches to an A+.
And just to add to that,
you know, typically the only time that it makes a difference in terms of, you know, what if they get downgraded is if there's concern that they're going to get downgraded to below investment grade or on the edge of below investment grade. So when you're starting out from, you know, this level of strength to get downgraded, it's not like it's a requirement that we have to confirm it's a AA rating before we can approve it. It's basically, it can clearly be a comfort level, whether it's AA, AA minus, or A plus. There's no reason not to approve it because the credit strength is still there. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Discussion items on Wesleyan? Okay. Well, there's a motion and it's been seconded to accept staff's recommendation. Let's call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation on Wesleyan University, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Michael.
Peter, for the next one, it's Steve speaking.
Yep. I
have to go back into the waiting room for CCMC.
Understood.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. All right, Mike, you're back on CCMC.
Yeah, CCMC, we have another reissuance. The bonds were issued in 2011. The tender date is July 1st, 2011. Bank of America has agreed to waive the mandatory tender and convert the existing variable rate issue to a fixed rate issue to the original maturity of 2032. And because due to the conversion from a variable to the fixed and the change of the interest rate, bond council believes, well, this triggers a reissuance, and bond council has advised us that we should get a new resolution for the reissuance. The financial covenants all remain, everything's going to remain the same. The financial covenants, debt service coverage, minimum days, debt to capitalization, and also the security requirements, which consists of a gross receipts pledge and a leasehold mortgage. And also, the foundation is also a member of the obligated group for the transaction. So basically, we're reissuing the bonds for another 10 years from the original mandatory tender date of July 1, 2021.
Okay. Prior discussion, let's get a motion out there. Is there a motion to accept staff's recommendation on CCMC reissuance?
So moved. It's Kim Kennison.
Thank you, Kim. Is there a second?
I'll second. It's Alan.
Thank you, Alan. We've got a second. So the motion has been made, seconded to accept staff's recommendation on CCMC reissuance. Are there any questions for Mike? Questions, comments, any discussion? Anything? All right, hearing none, we'll have a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation on the reissuance for CCMC, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? And I guess the record would note that Steve Elbaum either left the meeting or abstained. Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Okay, next item of business prior to the board meeting. There were two committee reports or two committee meetings, and now we will have a report on those two. We will start with the human resources meeting. Mike, I'll turn it to you.
I'm trying to get off of here. So thanks, Peter. The human resources committee meeting did meet this morning in the executive session to discuss the salary increase for the executive director of CHIFA for the year effective July 1st of 2021.
Are we going to go into executive session now?
Yeah, at this point we will. I would ask for a motion to go into executive session to discuss with the full board.
I will move that we go into executive session.
I have a second, please.
Thank you. There's Mark Perholak, I second.
Thanks. Is there all those in favor of moving into executive session, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. For the record, there were no votes taken in the executive session of the board. However, as part of the report from the Human Resources Committee, I would entertain a motion to accept the recommendation for merit increase for the executive director effective July 1st, 2021. Would someone like to move that motion?
So moved. This is Mike Angelini.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's Alan. All right. So there's a motion on the floor to accept the recommendation of the Human Resources Committee for merit increase, the executive director, as agreed in the Human Resources meeting, and the raise will be effective July 1st, 2021. Is there any discussion?
Yes, this is Daryl. For the record, I want to make it clear that on the principled matter of quasi-state agencies receiving merit increases when all of state government is not receiving merit increases, the treasurer opposes that. We do not, or the treasurer does not want it to be perceived by anyone that it is a reflection of the great work that Jeanette and her team are doing. We applaud her and wish her continued success. But again, on the principled matter of merit increases, we're in the opposition.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, there's a motion been made and seconded to accept the recommendation for the increase for the executive director. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
Daryl's no. Any abstentions?
Yes. Kim Kennison.
Kim Kennison abstention. Thank you very much. The motion carries. Thank you all. Mike, any other business from the HR committee to report on?
No, thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much. Mark, over to you for a review of the Audit Finance Committee meeting, the budgets, fee reduction, and our vote.
All right, thank you, Peter. The Audit and Finance Committee met today. We had three action items in front of us. I'll deal with the fee change first. And I believe you all received the same information that the committee received in advance of the meeting. So I won't rehash it all, but a proposal has been put forward to reduce the administrative fee on taxable bond issuances from 9 basis points to 3 basis points. You know, as management described, the services we provide on taxable transactions are not to the same level or extent that we do on tax exempt transactions. That's been questioned in the past by some issuers. And so management has considered and has put forward a proposal to reduce the rate, not only to address some of the concerns that have been raised in the past, but potentially as a means of enticing new business to come through on the taxable bond issuance side. Jeanette and Cynthia, did I do you justice there? Is there anything you need to add?
I think you covered it.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, the Audit and Finance Committee would be putting forward a motion asking the board to approve the recommendation that was approved unanimously by the Audit and Finance Committee to lower the administrative fee on taxable bond issuances from 9 basis points to 3 basis points.
All right. Someone like to make that motion? I'll move it. Someone like to second it?
Angelini, I'll second.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to reduce the administrative fee on taxable issues?
Jeanette, just a quick question or Mark or whomever could answer this. What's the revenue effect on CHIFA by doing that? Let's assume we don't get any other, it doesn't change our appeal to taxable issuers in the marketplace. What's their net revenue effect to us?
It's about $140,000, I believe.
Okay.
And for future reference, that change is built into the budget that will be coming before you momentarily.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other question, comments?
I guess, Peter, it's Kim. Yeah. I'm just wondering where the number came from a, I know the existing fee would be the 9%, but why would you choose 3%? The logic.
So we base the 3% really on kind of a hypothetical average sized taxable bond issuance of 50 million. And basically from a PV perspective, trying to get a fee that we thought would be in the range of what issuance costs might be if they had to issue on a non-CHIFA standalone basis for their taxable bond issuance. And so, we thought 3 basis points put us in that ballpark.
Okay, thank you.
And one question, this is Daryl. The proposed change from 9 to 3, does that apply to the existing taxable bonds in the portfolio or is only prospective? It's to the current.
It applies to the existing.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, motion has been made and seconded. Completed discussion on the proposal to reduce the administrative fee from 9 to 3 on taxable issues.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Verhulk. Just quickly, I should add or amend my motion. I think Denise, right, to say that this is effective July 1st of 2021.
Right. Correct.
Sorry for that oversight. My apologies.
No worries. Thank you for the clarification. So with that addendum to the motion, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries. All right, Mark, operating budget?
Yep. So we have two budget items, the operating budget and the capital budget. We'll handle each of those separately. And I would start by saying, I'd thank management for the excellent effort and work they have put into pulling this budget together. I think it is a strong reflection on the team and how much work and dedication they put into guiding CHIFA. So thank you. Again, I don't want to take too much time, but you all have the information. You received it in your packets. Hopefully you've had a chance to review it in advance. It's clearly a balanced budget that leaves room for investment in programs as we've done historically. I think there's been a strong effort on the side of management in looking at expenses. While we see some increase as we emerge out of a COVID year, management has also done an excellent job of keeping those expenses down and in some cases a reduction from previous levels, looking at opportunities wherever they can to work more efficiently and effectively. So with that, again, I would turn it over to Jeanette and Cynthia. Is there anything specifically you might like to add on the operating budget?
No, I think that covers it.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, the Audit and Finance Committee did pass a motion, and we would bring that forward to the board, seeking the board's approval of the Chief of Fiscal Year 22 operating budget.
Thank you, Mark. Someone like to make a motion to accept the operating budget as presented?
I'll make it. This is Mark.
Thank you. I'll second it. So we've got a motion and we've got a second to accept the fiscal 22 operating budget as presented. Are there any questions, comments, or discussion?
It's Daryl. Just a comment, a repeat of a prior comment, actually, but on the same principle. Agree with Mark's and the committee's commending Jeanette and her staff working to develop the operating budget. It's well thought out and well put together, including adjusting to our whatever the new normal is going to be. But on the principle of providing merit increases when other state employees are not receiving them, albeit for quasi agency, on that principle, the treasurer does not support the budget, but again, commends Jeanette and the agency on the work to pull together the balance of it.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl. Anyone else? All right. Hearing no other discussion, we can move it to a vote. There's a motion. It's been seconded to accept staff's recommendation for the fiscal 22 operating budget. All those in favor of accepting as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed?
No.
And are there any abstentions?
Yes, I'm abstaining. Kim Kennison.
Thank you, Kim. Motion carries. Thank you. And Mark, one more, the capital budget.
One final item, the capital budget. And Cynthia, maybe I'll just turn this over to you to just quickly give a real quick just kind of highlight of the proposed plan.
Yes, in the capital budget, we have the continuation of our basically accounting system implementation. The general ledger implementation was completed during this fiscal year. This is a second component that handles our bond issuance and investment components of our accounting. And so it's a continuation, something that has been approved previously by the board. And we're just bringing it forward for information purposes that it is going to happen during the fiscal 2022 fiscal year. The total is about $167,000 for implementation, including our 25% contingency we add in for technical type projects. And there's an annual amount of $16,000 each year for the system.
Okay.
So- with that, again, Mr. Chairman, the Audit and Finance Committee unanimously approved the capital budget as presented, and we would look for the board to accept or also approve the fiscal Chief of Fiscal Year 22 capital budget as presented.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we get to discussion and questions, let's get a motion out there. Would someone like to move acceptance of the CHIFA 2022 capital budget as presented?
Move as presented.
It's Steve moved it. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a second. Any further, any discussion or questions, comments on the CHIFA 2022 capital budget as presented? Hearing none, I will call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting the capital budget for 2022, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. And is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward for the good of the cause, the good and welfare of CHIFA? Any other business?
Thank any item? One. I think Mark wants to move it adjournment.
No, Daryl, we leave that for you.
All right. Well, don't go too far because we've got the CDC meeting to follow.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not off the hook yet.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Second?
Kim.
Second from Mike.
Anyone opposed? The motion or the meeting is adjourned.